Welcome to the Thursday edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, all about removing handcuffs. The Encouraging Word. This is no Houdini trick. This is no magic trip. This is the reality of God ready to break you free of things that are holding you back right now. Dr. Don Wilton is our teacher here on The Encouraging Word broadcasting. In these next few moments, he'll be taking us to the book of Exodus, chapter 34, as we continue in this series on removing the handcuffs, discovering every single day opportunities we have to take a look at even some of the handcuffs that were put on by somebody else or some that we put on ourselves, and to know how we can break free with God's help. Love to pray with you about your situation. If you'd like to pray with us, we're here at 866-899-WORD all the time, 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Now, during these days, we've been looking at scriptures for life. And what that means is I've asked the Lord to take me and to show me varying scriptures in the Bible that perhaps have a particular significance in the application of the daily fabric of our lives. And some 3 or 4 weeks ago, I found myself in Exodus chapter 34. And I want you to turn there with me. Our subject in the scripture for life is removing the handcuffs. And you know, there is so much in this life for which I'm deeply grateful. I really am, as an individual, as a father, as a husband, as a friend, as a pastor. There's a lot of things that I'm grateful for, but I do know that I am bound by a lot of things. All of us are. I don't know if you've heard people use this phrase. Well, that's just the way I am. I've even heard people say, well, I was born that way. If I could use a gambling phrase, which I don't like, but that's what it's all about. Some people will use the phrase, well, that's just the hand I've been dealt with. That's what I have to deal with. It's a kind of a fatalistic acceptance of one's own demise. You know, I guess I was born to die of heart trouble. You know, I guess I was born to be an angry person. I guess I was born to live out an alternative lifestyle. I guess I was just born to be selfish. You know, that's just the way that I am. And then somehow into the scheme of things, we discover, because people tell us, our mothers tell us, our brothers and sisters tell us, friends tell us, that actually the way that we are is just like our dad or our mother or our grandparent or somebody in our family. And in a sense, I know this is hard for us to understand when we say it, we almost wear that as a badge of pride. You know, let me tell you the flag that I fly. Look, I know that I've got a short fuse. I have a real bad temper, but guess what? My dad was like that too. That's what we do. Attitudes are like that. Have you ever met people with bad attitudes? Just got bad attitudes. I've heard people say, well, you know, my father always grumbled and moaned, so I grumble and moan. It's just part. That's our fam. That's our family. Just don't worry about it. And we almost wear these things as in a sense, as kind of the flag that we fly. And there is a, in a sense, we are proud of our badness. We're proud of our pain sometimes. And especially if we can attribute that to somebody else in our family that we love very much, it's like, don't worry, Dad. I know you had a temper. I promise you I'm going to have a bad temper. And by George, I'm going to make sure your grandson has one as well. You know, Dad, don't you worry about a thing. You know you were the most selfish person in the world. But don't worry, I've got it all under control. I'm selfish too. And I'm going to make sure your grandchildren grow up selfish. You know, Dad, you had a bad attitude to most things in life. And don't worry about a thing. I'm also going to have a bad attitude. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do everything I can to pass on the bad attitude so we can keep up the family tradition. I know that that sounds ridiculous. But the bottom line is that all of us find ourselves bound. And here's the good news. God says that we don't have to live that way. But friends, I struggle with that because this is something it would seem to me that's easier said than done, don't you think? How do I break this thing that has me in handcuffs? How do I stop losing my temper? How do I undergo an attitude adjustment? How do I alter the pattern? And then there are things that go real deep, medically. You see, if God provides for my needs and all my needs, it means that there is no exception. God is going to take care of me physically as much as he's going to take care of me emotionally, as much as he's going to take care of me spiritually. So what happens if I have prostate problems and the chances are that I'm going to die of prostate cancer, and my father did, and my grandfather and my great-grandfather? Are you telling me that I can break the cycle? Are you talking about some kind of psychic healing or some kind of something that's supposed to happen? What does God mean when he says, I will heal you and make you whole? Can we break the cycle? Well, let's read together. We're in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5. I trust by the end of these 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks that we're in this passage, that God has written this in our hearts as a scripture for life. Then the Lord came down in the cloud, and he stood there with Moses and proclaimed his name, I am who I am. And I am who I am passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, I am who I am. Moses, are you listening? I am who I am. I am the compassionate and gracious God. I am slow to anger. I am abounding in love. I am abounding in faithfulness. I am the one who maintains love to thousands. I am the one who forgives wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, I am the one who does not leave the guilty unpunished. I am the one who punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Goodness me, Lord, how can these things be? Are you telling me, Lord, that you are the one who is going to allow me to carry the handcuffs of past generations? Yes, God says. I'm going to allow that to happen. Evidently, you don't seem to understand how serious I am about this thing called sin. You don't seem to understand that I'm not playing games. You don't even seem to understand who I am. And we've discovered that there are two issues that we've got to deal with even before we deal with the practical issues. Number one, we're never going to remove the handcuffs if we don't understand and accept God's foundational principles. That was the first thing, a massive subject. The second thing we began to look at together, that we will never remove the handcuffs unless we know who God is. What God is saying here is he says, listen, before you can even begin to apply those practical dynamics in your life, you need to understand who I am. And so we've begun to look at this passage because God tells us about who he is. Well, he tells us that he is compassionate. He tells us, second of all, that he is gracious. He tells us, third, that he is slow to anger. He tells us, number four, that he is love and that his love abounds. It is overflowing. And when he tells us about abounding love, what's he saying? He's telling me that he deals with me lovingly. He tells me that he provides for me completely. He tells me that he identifies with me objectively. But there's a fifth thing that God says about himself here in this passage. We've got to listen to this. God says that he is faithful. I am faithful. He says it right there in this passage. He says in verse 6, he says, I am the Lord, I am God, and I am abounding in love, and I am abounding in faithfulness. And what does it mean that God is faithful? We saw this last week. It means, first of all, that God's life does not change. And if God's life does not change, it means that God's position doesn't change. It means that God's existence doesn't change. It means that God's purpose doesn't change. It means that God's creation doesn't change. God is announcing to people like you and me. He's saying, listen, people, I know that I've made you and you have sinned against me. There are consequences for your sin. You better sit up and take note of who I am, because if you don't take note of who I am, you're on your own. You're going to be out there paddling your own canoe. And I want you to know, you paddle your own canoe, you're in serious trouble. And the only way in which I'm going to be able to drive the engine of your life is if you capitulate and abdicate and come to terms with who I am. I want you to know that I am faithful. And because I am faithful, what I mean by that is that my life does not change. But there's a second component of his faithfulness. Not only does God's life not change, but God's character does not change. Now, friend, listen. We may change. You and I may change. But God never changes. Now, when God says in his word, I am Lord, I am the Lord, what is God saying to us? He is making an announcement that his name, the Lord God, is far more than just a label. It's far more than Don or Steve or Eddie or Sam. He says, my name is not just a label. My name is the revelation of who I am in relation to my connection into the heart of mankind. What God is saying here, my friends, is that God's moral character is changeless. He cannot change. God's character. This means that his name is within itself not just simply a description about God, but rather it is a declaration of his own existence. When God says, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, he is making a declaration concerning his eternal unchangeableness. He is giving to you and me a reminder that he has life in himself. When God says, I am the Lord your God, what is he doing? He is telling us that what he is now, he is eternally. He has never changed. His character is always the same. I tell you what, I love that. If I don't know who God is, I'm in trouble. Because I don't need to be going to somebody who's changing his mind all the time.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and we'll be back with more of today's message on removing the handcuffs in just a moment. But you know, those handcuffs need keys. And as Dr. Don has mentioned on more than one occasion, the most powerful key we have is God's Word, Scripture itself. And if you're not spending some time on a daily basis, let me offer a resource. It's the most popular resource for over a decade now at The Encouraging Word. It's absolutely free. You can either sign up for an email or a hard copy of The Daily Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. It's actually a quarterly, 3 months worth in the hard copy. If you want to request that, you can sign up on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Sign up for the physical copy, or you can also sign up for the email. That's online at tewonline.org. Sign up today, and within 24 to 48 hours, you'll be receiving this email every morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning, that'll help you not only understand God's Word better, but apply it to your life. I pray you'll consider signing up today. Now let's get back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Have you ever been around a real moody person? I remember when I taught for many years on a graduate faculty, and I was one of the professors, and our vice president for academic affairs. Now, if you've never been on a graduate faculty, the vice president for academic affairs is a very important man. He's the number two man under the president. And he makes all the decisions, folks, let there be no kidding. And for faculty members like me, especially young faculty members like me, you are not going to get anything done if you don't get approval from the vice president for academic affairs. Well, we had a vice president for academic affairs who was one of the moodiest men I have ever met in my life. Do you know what, folks? We would get up on Monday morning or Tuesday in faculty meeting. You know, one of the things we would always do, we would find out all the decisions we had to make. And they were important concerning academic matters, course structure, credit, whether we were going to add and drop. We had to discuss student matters, curriculum. We had to make decisions about everything that would affect everybody's lives. But you know, before we did anything about it, we went to one another and we'd creep up to the other faculty guy and say, "Have you seen Doc this morning?" As in Vice President for Academic. "Yeah. Well, what kind of mood is he in?" Do you know, folks, we knew if we walked past the Vice President for Academic Affairs, beautiful day, and you'd say, "Good morning, Doc," and he'd go, you knew this was not a good day to go to him with any requests. And do you know, literally, I'm telling you, folks, literally and practically, there were sometimes days that we put everything on hold because he wasn't in a good mood. But then there were days that I'd walk by and I'd say, "Morning, Doc," and he'd stop and say, "Dr. Wilton, how are you, son? And how's your sweet wife? And boy, those boys are growing up, aren't they? And did you catch any fish last week?" Man, I'm telling you, my list was just piling up. 10 minutes later, I'm into his office sitting down. "Oh, have a cup of coffee. Listen, Doc, I want to talk to you about something." Everything we did, our whole destination was determined by what? By a character that changed with the wind. Friend, listen to me. Do you know what God was saying to Moses? He was saying, it doesn't matter what wind's blowing. It doesn't matter what war's going on. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. It doesn't matter how often you've hurt me. It doesn't matter how many sins you've committed. Doesn't matter how many times you've misunderstood. Doesn't matter how many times you've hurt your wife. I'm never going to change. I am changeless. My character will not change. Listen to this announcement. God says to Moses, "I am abounding in love and I am abounding in faithfulness." Faithfulness. God's life does not change. God's character does not change. But there's a third component. You thought we were through with faithfulness. God was telling us that God's truth does not change. If you go back and read in Isaiah 40 and verse 6, the Bible says, "All flesh is grass. The grass may wither, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever." Psalm 119 and verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God telling us that his truth will not ever change. Now tell us about ourselves for just a moment. What does time do to us? You know what time does to us? Time causes us to change. It does. Folks, many times I sit in absolute wonder and amazement at some of the things I used to do in the 60s when I was a teenager. Man, I'll get out some of that music, the Beatles and the Boys, you know. Man, I used to love it. "Yeah, yeah, yeah, she loves me. Nah, 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 nah." I'm telling you, man, I used to get into that stuff. I do. Back Porch Majority. Have you ever heard of the Deep Purple? Creedence Clearwater Revival. Da-dang, 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 da-dang. I am telling you, boy, we used to get into that stuff. Do you know, I'm being honest with you, folks. I still like to listen to old Jeremiah and the Bullfrogs. But you know, something's changed. It just kind of doesn't do the same things for me anymore. My taste has changed. My ears have definitely changed. My eyes have gone. Something's happened. I've got to carry these around now. And even now and again, I struggle to see what's on the page. Time changes. What does time change? Time changes the views of mankind. Views change. Time causes meaning to change. Some things that meant something years ago no longer means the same thing anymore, but not so when it comes to the words of God. This is what God is saying to us. Not so when it comes to the word of God. The words of God stand as abiding, valid expressions of his mind and thought. no different from before the foundation of the world. What God was saying to Moses was simply this, that no circumstances can ever cause a recall of the decisions that I have made from before the foundation of the world. What God was saying to Moses is simply this, that no changes in thinking can require or demand an amendment to the thought of a sovereign and a righteous God. God saying, I am faithful. And if you want to know what it means that I am faithful, it means that my life will never change. It means my character will never change. It means that my truth will never change. But he tells us as well that my ways will never change. My ways do not change. What are the ways of God? He still blesses those who seek him. That's the ways of God. He still hates sin. That's the way of God. He still seeks fellowship with us. That is the way of God. He still teaches us and instructs us according to his ways. That is the way of God. He still carries out his promises. These are the ways of God. God is saying, I'm faithful. My ways don't change. My ways don't change. Do you know one of the greatest gifts that you can give to your children? It's never change as mom and dad. Don't sacrifice your love for each other. Folks, that's one of the biggest casualties of divorce. Divorce rips the heart out of children. You know why? Because mom and dad have changed. It rips that security blanket out. There is nothing that gives children greater joy than knowing, listen, I know I've messed up, but man, my home has not changed. I know that I've disappointed my family, my mother and father, my brothers and sisters, but my home has never changed. Listen, you've never changed. Listen, I know of parents, my friends, who have stood firm. They've never changed. They're just the same. And God says, I am the Lord your God, and I've never changed. I cannot change. I am there for you. I haven't changed my mind. You can depend on me. I'm the rock of your salvation. Wow. It is incredible. God's life does not change, and his character does not change, and his truth does not change, and his ways do not change. And he also tells us God's Son does not change. Hebrews 13, the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now that we've talked about the underlying principles of who God is, now that we've tried to come to grips with what God teaches us about himself, we're now going to ask ourselves the question, so what can we do? And folks, God has been speaking to my heart. I've got a list this long taken from the Word of God. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get through it. We may do one thing a Sunday, I don't know. But I'm telling you, God is very clear about what we need to do in order to remove the handcuffs. God has given us, if you will beg my pardon, a way out. But before we get to that, there is one more character attribute. There is one more thing that God puts in here. Have you noticed that? Some of you said, uh-oh, Dr. Wilton, you left that out. Nope. Here it is. Number six, he is forgiving. He is forgiving. Look at verse 7. He says, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving what? Forgiving wickedness, forgiving rebellion, and forgiving sin. What does it mean? If he is forgiving, it means he demonstrates love to me. If he is forgiving, it means he pours out his grace upon me. If he is forgiving, it means that he promises hope to me. Friend, listen, we struggle with this matter of forgiveness. We cannot comprehend the absoluteness of a God who would love us so much that he would remove the handcuffs, that he would be the God of the impossible, that he would do for me what I cannot do for myself. God makes this announcement, and he's doing that in the context of this thing. And God is saying, just before I tell you the consequences of ignoring who I am, I want you to know who I am. Because if you ignore who I am, you are going to live with the consequences of generational sin, which you don't have to live with if you know who I am. Isn't that incredible?
Incredible, isn't it? The power to know we can break free from our sin, even generational sin. It all starts with the most important decision, and that's to give your life to Jesus Christ, to follow Him. I pray that you would take a moment right now and hear perhaps the most important 60 seconds of our broadcast from Dr. Don.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that You love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to You, and I invite You to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey.
You know that every day, Dr. Don always asks us, have we need of a change? Do we need to rededicate our lives to Christ if we're following Jesus? Or do we need to give our hearts to Jesus? If you've done that today, let us join with you in rejoicing and in celebrating and in putting resources in your hands that will help you move forward. I pray that you would realize that you don't need to be walking through this journey alone. God has called us to community, and we'd love to be a beginning of that. We'd also love to help you find a local church in that community as well, within a couple of zip codes. If you're interested, give us a call. 866-899-WORD is our phone number, and it is a passion of ours to help you get plugged in and also to encourage you as we can, even long distance. 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org. As a matter of fact, Liz is going to tell you about some unique resources you'll find online right there as well at tewonline.org.
Have you been praying about how you can make a difference in the world? We would love to have you join us by becoming an Encourager ministry partner. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an Encourager brochure today. There is no greater gift that you can give than to help spread the gospel. Together, we can do much to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Make a commitment to help spread the gospel in 2020. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but I hope that you'll stay connected with us on our website at tewonline.org. Every single day, there's a fresh new perspective from Dr. Don. We call it the Daily Encouraging Word email. You don't have to go looking for it on the website, though. You can sign up for it on our website and have it sent to you automatically about 6 o'clock Eastern every day. It sure jumpstarts my quiet time, and I think it will yours as well. Sign up today online at tewonline.org for your copy of the Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don Wilton.